Whenever we come to spiritual matters and eternal issues, it's not good enough to have the word of man. We need to have the word of God. And in God's word, there are many places where there are warnings to us to be careful, to watch out for things in our lives that are dangerous. And in this passage of God's word, we have one of these warnings. And tonight I want to speak on the heart of man as viewed by God. The heart of man as viewed by God. Now, as we look around at other people, we judge by different standards. We maybe look at ourselves and think very well of ourselves or very highly of ourselves or those around us. But it doesn't really matter what man thinks of you or what you think of yourself. What is important tonight, what is imperative tonight, is that you know what God declares about you. And when we come to this passage of God's word, we find a picture that really isn't very pleasant, but we need to look at it tonight. We need to understand what it means tonight. If we're going to have any hope of being in heaven when we die, if we're ever going to have peace with God, if we're ever going to be able to say it is well with my soul. First thing I want you to notice tonight is the heart described. The heart described. It says here, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, the heart, when the Bible speaks of the heart in Scripture, it speaks of a broader meaning than that which we would have today. The heart is that which is central to man. It's the core of our person, our thoughts, our desires, our intellect, the real you. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. And here's what the Lord says is true of everyone born into this world. The heart is deceitful above all things. Friend, in your natural condition, you're born as a deceitful person. Now, this is not appealing to the ears of man. It doesn't tickle our fancy. It doesn't encourage us, really. But God's holy truth is here, and it says, there is none that is righteous, no, not one. That word deceitful could be translated crooked or polluted. It's from a word meaning to supplant or to restrain by holding on to the heel. And what a description of sin that is. That's exactly this way the sinner is tonight. They're crooked. They don't measure up to God's standard. They're polluted in every part of their being. Oh, every sinner here tonight is not as wicked as they possibly could be, but every part of them is sinful, thoroughly sinful. And we understand that when we try to do right, and we try to follow God's moral law, we try to turn our lives around for the better, we find we're restrained. There's something holding us back, isn't there? That's the sinfulness of our heart. Measure yourself against the law of God, you'll find you're crooked. Compare yourself to the holiness of God, you'll find you're polluted in thought, word, and deed. Try and make your life better by reformation of character, and you'll find you are restrained. The reason for that is the sinfulness of the heart, the deceitfulness of the heart. I believe whenever we see a view of the holiness of God, then we see the real sinfulness of our heart. And that's why we need to preach about the holiness of God, about His standards, about what God expects if we are to be in heaven. Sometimes today we go to churches and we hear people say, make a decision for Christ, as if the Lord is an add-on to their life, without realizing that before God they are guilty, vile, hell-deserving sinners. And we must come to that realization in our lives if we are ever going to be found saved by the grace of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:22, for in Adam all die. What is sin? Sin is simply going contrary to God, retreating from God, turning your back on God, defying God, ignoring God. And the word deceitful is used 21 times in our Bible, and every time it's used to speak of the sinfulness of men, of their words, and of their actions. So what lesson, what practical lesson can we take tonight from the fact that the Lord records in His word for us tonight that the heart of man is deceitful, that man himself is deceitful? Well, here's the lesson. We cannot trust ourselves. We cannot rely upon ourselves. We cannot depend upon ourselves for anything. You see, man's deceit causes him to think that he's okay before God. He can live whatever way he wants and everything will work out in the end. But the Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Man can be so deceitful that he thinks if he tries his best by attending church and not offending anyone, he'd be accepted by God. In other words, he'd find a way to please God by his works and by his actions. But the Bible says God is holy. We are all as an unclean thing. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Friend, here's how deceitful your heart can be tonight. It's possible for someone to go through life actually believing that everything's okay with their soul. Get the best out of life, do what they want, and then die, and they'll be at peace. Friend, that's how deceitful we are. And there are men and women and young people in this congregation. And maybe if you knew yourself as God knows you, you're maybe closer to eternity than you think. And you feel everything's okay. Life's been good. And then you'll be at rest. And you've sinfully convinced yourself you don't need God in life and you don't need God in death. Thank God we have the scriptures tonight. Thank God we have the word that declares the reality of the matter. The one who dies without Christ will go into eternity without Christ. Into hell for all eternity. But not only is the heart described as deceitfully wicked above all things, it's described, or deceitful above all things, it's described as desperately wicked. Now, I don't need to go outside of this room tonight to emphasize this truth. In God's word, you look within your own heart tonight. I let the Spirit of God apply this truth to your heart. Friend, you know within the recesses of your heart, there are places that you have not been in person, but you've been there within the heart. And there are wicked and vile and sinful things you've never said audibly, but you said it within the heart. And actions that you have committed, oh, not physically, but within the heart. The thoughts of hatred and lust and pride continually fill our hearts because of the condition of our hearts, the sinfulness of our hearts. A.W. Pink once said, "We are not only born into this world with an evil nature, but with hearts that are thoroughly in love with sin." And you know as well as I do, sometimes we like to let our minds wander. And often don't they wander into places where they ought never to be. That's the wickedness of our heart. That word desperately wicked in the original also means incurable, sick unto death. And therefore we could read this verse tonight, the heart is deceitful above all things and dangerously sick. Friend, you realize tonight the fact that you're a sinner is not just something you need to know, but it's something that affects your whole life. This sickness is a sickness unto death. It's a sickness unto hell. Your passing from this world as a sinner means absent from the body and present in hell. We sang a few moments ago about absent from the body, present with the Lord. And oh, what joy fills our heart as we think about that day when all sin has passed away and we're made like unto our Savior. But friend, for you, that's not the reality. Where will you honestly be 1 second after you die? Will you be in heaven with the Lord? Only if you're saved. Only if you've turned from your sin and trusted Christ. Or will you be in hell forever? That's the heart described. But secondly, I want you to notice something else in this passage. I want you to notice the heart searched. Verses 9 and 10. Or 10, it says, "Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." Authors have tried to write about the psychology of man. Poets have tried to capture the character of the heart in their poems. Scientists have tried to analyze the psychology of man. But the scriptures ask this question: who can truly know man? Who can truly know the heart? Who can honestly look at a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, and sum them up honestly? Well, a deceitful, wicked, incurably sick man cannot know his heart or the heart of another. And friend, there's not one person in this earth, no preacher, no minister, who can truly know the condition of your heart, really. However, there is one who's not wicked. He is the way to freedom from the condition of the heart. There's one who's not deceitful. He is the truth that will lead you to salvation. There's one who's not feeble or sick. He is the life that is righteous, perfect, pure, and holy. It's the Lord himself. He says, I, the Lord, search the heart. And friend, tonight in this meeting, God sees you as you really are. He doesn't take character witnesses from your minister, your family, while they may be very good. No, the Lord searches the heart. Some of the most solemn words in Scripture, I believe, are found in Genesis 6 and 5. And God saw. He didn't just view the earth, but he saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord seeth not as man seeth, for the man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Friend, never fall into the deceitful trap of thinking my minister's pleased with me. My family love me. People think I am an upright citizen of this community. It doesn't matter. When you come to the end of your life, it doesn't matter. All that matters is what God declares. It doesn't matter the eulogy in the paper at the funeral. It doesn't matter if thousands come or nobody comes. Friend, all that matters at the end of time is how you stand before God. Saved by his grace and washed in his blood. Or still in the sin in which you were born. Friend, there's nothing hid from him. What does that mean? That means those things you've long forgotten about are known to God. Every thought, every word, every action that's been executed by you, by the strength he has given to you, by the health and ability he's given you, with the finance he's blessed you with, that you've used to continue in your sin, God knows it all. And how serious is that record of sin? Well, if you look at verse number 1 of this chapter, it says, the sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. One of the hardest materials on the face of this earth, even yet today. And that's the very material God uses to describe the record of man's sin. It's written indelibly. There's nothing can remove it. Nothing of man can remove it. And what does God see as he looks at the record of your life tonight? And the Lord doesn't weigh up the balance of saying, how good was he this day? How bad was he that day? No. You're either a sinner or you're saved by grace. Perhaps there's someone here tonight and you've used the gifts of health and wealth and education simply to get more involved in sin in the world. Someone who's taken every good thing God has provided for you, but continually said no to God's call in your life. Someone who joys having the blessing of the Lord, and I use that phrase in that way because they say, I want to be married in the church and I want to be buried in the church, but you know what? Don't want God in any other part of my life. How wicked. How sinful for us to think we can welcome God into 1 hour of our lives, 2 hours of our lives. You know, there are people and they'll come and they'll say, well, you know, my family are sick, I need you to pray. And they come to the preacher and they ask the preacher to pray and they'll attend church for a few weeks. But you see, when everything's better, forget about God. How wickedly we can abuse the things of God, the house of God, the people of God. Maybe tonight you're someone in this meeting and you've continually placed yourself before God and you've done what you believe is right. You live by your standards. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. It doesn't matter what your Creator declares. You do your own thing, ignoring God's command. Maybe you're sitting in this meeting in your deceit and your wickedness, and you've never, ever taken time to consider that one day you'll stand before a holy God, the judge of all the earth. Friend, God sees your heart tonight. Maybe you look like a Christian and act like a Christian, but you've never been saved. I want you to notice why God searches the heart. It says there in verse 10, to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You see, there are consequences for the life you live. There's a payment for every action that you commit. Thank the Lord for those who are saved. You know, whenever you stand in the judgment, thank the Lord, no sin will be brought before you, but you'll be rewarded for what you've done for Christ. That's the wonder of the gospel. We'll stand accepted by God, blessed with eternal treasures and blessings because of our service. But for those who are found tonight just the way they're born in their sin, there is also a reward for you, as it were, a payment, payday coming. And you know, folks, some people know the consequences of sin in their bodies. And because of their actions, they know the body suffering because of sin, their relationships suffering because of sin, their lives that they live on this earth corrupted because of sin. And that's nothing to what you'll face whenever you stand before God. A wicked man or woman may lose their husband or wife, their children, their family, their job, their home, their money, their dignity on this earth because of their sinfulness. But if they die in their sin, they'll lose their soul. Lose her soul for all eternity in the place of the damned. Oh yes, tonight to the sinner the world seems to burn so brightly. The lights of the world are so attractive and alluring. Friend, one day they'll be switched out. The fires of hell will never burn out. The friends may be plentiful in the days of sin, but the loneliness of hell and separation from God and others for all eternity. Maybe you laugh or you mock or you scoff at the gospel and the gospel preaching as they plead for your soul. Friend, in hell you'll wish they pleaded a little longer. Raise their voice a little higher. Extended the meeting a little bit more. We find in hell people have a missionary zeal. They don't want others to come there. It's too late. And if you're not saved today, it doesn't matter what you've achieved this week, financially, socially, or whatever way. All you've done this week is add to the record of your sin. Maybe you thought tonight, I'll come when the person invited me to this meeting. I'll please them. Maybe God will look upon this favorably. Friend, if you leave this meeting unsaved, the only difference between you walking in is you're an hour closer to hell. If God were to call you from this earth tonight, what would be the reward waiting for you? My final thought tonight is the warning to the wicked heart, and that's found in verse number 11. It says, as the partridge sitteth in eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. What we read here is a pictorial example of what we've just been talking about. The deceitfulness of man, deceiving himself, thinking everything's going to be okay and work out in the end. Now, there are two thoughts here, two ideas here the Bible commentators would suggest. This bird that is sitting on these eggs, either proper care has not been taken of the eggs, they've been broken or trampled on, but the bird sits on them anyway as if everything's going to work out okay. Or perhaps the bird has stolen another's eggs and when the baby comes forth, they will forsake her because she's not their mother. But what they're doing is resting upon something that will not result in a blessing. Is that you tonight? I'm a Free Presbyterian. If you're not saved, you'll be a Free Presbyterian in hell. I'm an Orange man. I'm a Protestant. I'm a Catholic, whatever it be. Folks, if you're not saved by the grace of God, you can take your title, but you'll be taking it to hell. It means nothing in the eyes of God. Don't you put your hope upon anything, anything other than the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter who tells you, no matter who tells you it's okay, don't you depend upon it, because you'll be like this partridge. It won't work out in the end. What you hope for and your sincerity that is seen here, it doesn't amount to anything. Because God's ways always come to pass. And it talks here about riches. And there's people tonight, and all that's all they've gained in life are the things of this world that last for a little while. Popularity, houses, riches, cars, clothes, friends, etc. Folks, they will all be left behind. They don't transfer to eternity. All that transfers is your soul and the record of your life. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? There are people here in this country, and they're millionaires and they're billionaires, but you know what? Spiritually speaking, they're in poverty. Rather have little on this earth and be saved by the grace of God. That's true riches. Look what it says about such people. At his end shall be a fool. A fool. And God calls people who trust in anything other than his provision fools. Remember the New Testament story? The man needed a bigger area, barns. He pulled down his barns and built. There's nothing sinful about that. There's nothing sinful about hard work or about growth or about blessing. There's nothing wrong with that. What was the problem there? The problem is he was so taken up with life, he hadn't prepared for death. He hadn't prepared for eternity. And the Lord said, "Thou fool," because he had not lived for eternity. "Thou fool," he had not prepared to meet God. "Thou fool, sins not forgiven." And I fear for people who have sat in church services, in gospel meetings, from Sunday school days right through to now. And you know the gospel. You could preach the gospel, but you've never rested upon the Christ of the gospel. Oh, how foolish. As we conclude tonight, I wonder, did you notice in our reading the salvation provided in the gospel? Look at verse number 7. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." You see that word "trusteth"? It means to hide in for refuge, to be confident and to be sure. That word "hope," it means security, it means assurance. And folks, that's the gospel. A refuge in which we can hide. A place where we can be safe and secure in the finished work of Christ. You see, God will judge the world. God's anger and wrath will be poured out upon sin and upon sinners. But praise God, for those who are saved, they're hid in Christ. And they're safe in the judgment of God. And that's the only place of safety. Christ is the only way. The only way. He's the only one you can depend upon. He's the only one you can trust in. Because when he came to die upon the cross of Calvary, he died as a sinless substitute. And on that cross, he bore the guilt that was mine. He suffered the hell that should have been mine. He knew separation from God, his Father. Thank God that I might never be separated from him. That I might never be in hell. That I might never be called guilty. When I was 7 years old, that truth was revealed to my heart in a hospital bed in Muckerfeld. And I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart and take away my sin, to be my Savior. You know what happened that night? The Lord changed me. That record of sin was covered by the blood. I was given new garments. Rags of sin were taken off. I was now clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And that means whenever God looks upon me, he doesn't see what I was. He sees who I am in Christ. And his merit became my merit. What happened that night in that hospital? The Lord dealt with my heart. The Lord showed me the truth. The Lord gave me the light, and thank the Lord, in simple childlike faith, I trusted in him. Pray in your hand tonight, you hold the light of the gospel. You hold the invitation of heaven. The great physician, the only one who can heal the heart, calls to you tonight to turn from your sin and repentance. Put your faith in the finished work of Calvary and the precious blood that flowed. Love that little chorus if you want joy. Real joy, wonderful joy. Let Jesus come into your heart. Your sins he'll take away. Your night he'll turn to day. Your heart he'll make it over in you, and then come in to stay. And then that old hymn of Horatio Bonner. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come on to me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary, worn, and sad. And I find in him a resting place. And he has made me glad. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. There's nothing else in this world I can depend upon. But I thank the Lord for my Savior, the Rock of Ages, who has dealt with my heart and drawn me onto himself. He gives you a new heart. He gives you a new nature. He gives you a new life, a new future when you turn from your sin and when you trust in him. I know tonight if my life were played upon a screen, folks, I'd bow to hear an embarrassment. I thank Lord tonight my life is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's none too guilty tonight, none too sinful tonight, none too far gone. But if you bow the knee in repentance and say, Lord, save me, a sinner, you'll leave this place justified, just like that publican from the temple, declared saved by the grace of God. To leave a gospel meeting is a serious matter. And folks, I can only compel you to come now because now is the only time I can be sure I'll stand before you. Now is the only time you're guaranteed. Bible says not to boast yourself of tomorrow. This is accepted day, time. This is accepted day of salvation. Don't put the matter off. Don't put the matter off tonight. I believe in the providence of a holy God. And if you're not saved, then I believe you're here tonight to hear this message. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust your thoughts. Your interpretation of matters. Get to the Bible and make sure you're saved according to the Word of God. You're not sure tonight, come and speak to us after the meeting. We'd love to point you to Christ, but don't leave in your sin.